Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Wow, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we flew to Fort Wayne, Indiana, and my arms are really tired. That's pretty funny, huh? No, it was only a two-hour flight, so it was okay. But we had some really great, some miracles and some healings. And it's interesting, the young man, John Ernst from Minnesota, he was the one that had hip cancer last year. And they were supposed to cut off his right leg. And he, you know, realized what his sin was. And Thurman kept going to the front row. And he ended up getting healed. He believed he was healed. And he went back to the doctor that week. And he was healed. Praise the Lord. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Well, he met this woman named Donna, and he kept writing me about Donna, or us, and saying, you know, she's going to go to a second oncologist because she's stage four, she's, you know, no time left, and so now she's going to go to Ohio instead of coming to see you. Would you pray that, because he kept telling her, you don't need an oncologist, you need the Word. And so he kept talking to her, and he said, would y'all pray? So we prayed that she would come. And guess who came? Donna and her husband. Amen. Yes, she came. They came Thursday night, the second night. And, you know, she had, it was colon cancer that had gone to bone and lung. And, you know, she was just, she was very sad. But it's interesting how, you know, we kind of work as a team. So I start talking to her and I tell her colon cancer, well, all cancer is unforgiveness, bitterness. Colon cancer, you're slandering with your tongue. And so anyway, she starts repenting. And Thurman turns to the husband. And what do you say to the husband? You remember what?
Yeah, I asked the husband, I said, do you have any unforgiveness toward anyone? Mm-hmm. And he did. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I said, do you not know that your sin of unforgiveness can put cancer on your wife? Mm-hmm. And he didn't know that. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, we got him to repent. Mm-hmm. And once we got him to repent, then we prayed the prayer of faith for her. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, she will be healed.
Yes, absolutely. And that's what I knew, too. I knew she was healed. He had loaned money to his brother, and his brother didn't pay him back. So he got into an offense with his brother. So that
now,
was
let me tell you something right there on that testimony. I've told lots of people, whether you're a family member or a friend or whatever, if somebody comes to you and wants to borrow money, you know, if you can't afford to just give it to them with no strings attached, then don't let them have the money. You know, if you got to have that money back, and if they say, I'll pay it back to you in 2 weeks or 4 weeks or 6 months or whatever, and you've got to have that money, please don't loan it to them. You know, just don't give it to them, because what that'll usually do is, like this case, he loaned some money to his brother, and then his brother didn't pay him back, so he got bitter with his brother because brother wouldn't do what he said. You know, who knows what happens in people's life, but anyway, that's...
Yeah, so he learned a lesson. He was, we prayed, I knew she was healed, and he immediately said, I'm going to call, as soon as we leave here, I'm calling my brother and get all of that right. So that was good. Okay, we had another lady come up with breast cancer, and this lady, she smelled really bad because she had cancer, and so... and not everybody smells bad, but this lady did smell bad. And she told me that she told the doctors that was it. She was standing. She wasn't going to do anything. She wasn't going to do the radiation, chemo, and all that. She was going to stand on God's word. I said, praise God. I said, well, do you know what causes breast cancer? And she says, no. And I said, well, all cancer is unforgiveness and bitterness, but specifically breast cancer is unforgiveness against a woman. And if it's a left breast, which she had, I said, it's someone in your family, mother, daughter, sister, sister-in-law. And boy, when I said mother, she went, mother? And I said, yeah. And she hit her sin right there. She said, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. And sure enough, so we led her through repentance toward her mother and prayed for her. And I knew that I knew that she was healed. So that was really a praise the Lord. Okay, then, praise the Lord. That's right.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. Okay, we had a lady, a little bitty tiny lady that came up with her husband, her third husband, and she had on a scarf, so I assumed that she was a Mennonite, you know, the long dress and everything. I just assumed it. I didn't ask. And so she tells that she has 5 children, 2 with the first husband, 3 with the second husband. Both men beat her, which is a terrible thing, And she said, and before I got up here, one person did come up that I had to forgive. She knew that she was supposed to forgive. So her issue was her left arm was very weak. She could only lift it to about here. Her heart, she had heart issues. She had palpitations, and she had a heaviness of heart. And I said, well, everything to do with the heart has to do with your love walk with yourself and or others. So we led her through repentance of not loving herself and being sure that she'd forgiven all these people. And the third husband that was with her, they'd been married 7 years, but they had gotten divorced in October, but recently remarried. So they were back on the right. And she said it was all her fault because of something. And so anyway, there was all this repentance between them. And okay, so we have her to forgive herself and be sure everybody's forgiven everybody, and everybody did. We pray for them. And then she starts to walk away. I said, oh, lift your hand, lift your arm up. She goes, whoa, all the way up. And she just went, oh. She said, oh, my goodness. And I said, oh, praise God, you're healed. You know? That was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
okay, then we had, I'm going to save the big one till last. Then we had, I can't hear, at least four families, at least, that came up with 4, 6, or 10 children that were all born out of wedlock, all of them. You know, y'all know, because you come here, Deuteronomy 23:2 is the bastard curse, that if a child is born or conceived out of wedlock, that they will be cursed for 10 generations and cannot come into
sanctuary,
the Lord's sanctuary. Okay, so he's been, I guess you talked about it. I guess that's, I don't even know how all that happened, why all these people started coming up. And I mean, it was a bunch, like I say. And so, you know, he would touch every one of them. We'd break the curse off of them. And even a couple of them, that one of them was still at home or something. So, and they all got set free. And then it was interesting. The one girl had, she had several things wrong, but one thing was anxiety. And she had four of them born by different men, okay? And I said, did you ever do drugs? And she had an alcoholic father. I said, do you ever do drugs? You know, sometimes you ask things just because God has you ask them. And she said, oh, no, I never did drugs, okay? We're on the plane coming home, and I get an email. And she says, I have to repent because I did do drugs. I smoked marijuana. I did this, you know, maybe 4, 5, 6 times. But she did. She said, so I lied to you. And so she wanted to repent for it and everything. Of course, God forgives her because she did repent, you know. But I thought that's what I felt brought the anxiety on, was the drugs. And so, you know, it was all okay. So I know she got healed and all her kids and everything. Okay. Then the greatest thing was a lady comes up in a wheelchair. And her bones are about like this. She's just skinny bone. And I said, what's wrong with you? And she said, well, I have MS. And I tell her, well, MS is a deep root of hatred and bitterness. Oh, I love everybody. I love everybody. I'm like, okay. Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about this a little bit. I said, is there anybody that you're having any kind of trouble with? She goes, no. I love everybody. So I turned to Thurman. I said, we need some help, honey. I need some help here. I said, God, I have some wisdom. So he says, God, we need some wisdom. And I said, yes, Lord. And sister. And she, because he just gave me that word, nothing else, just sister. And I go, sister. And she goes, well, she says, she is so evil. She says, she told me four things. She said, she is so evil. She hurts me with everything she says and does. She's bitter and envious because I have a grandchild and she doesn't. And she's, and of course, the wheelchair, and she goes toward her legs and she says, she won't even help me with this, meaning her situation. Because, I mean, this girl, she's a bony girl. She's very bony. And I'm going, wow. I said, so it's your sister. And she goes, no, I love my sister. I love everyone. I said, no, listen to your words. You just said this. And I repeat them all to her. No, I love my sister. She just goes on out. Or the friend, the neighbor that brought her, she says, don't listen to yourself. Listen to this, what this woman's telling you. She said, listen to what you're saying. So I repeat it all again to her. How many times did I do that?
3 or 4 times.
A lot.
At least.
A whole bunch. And so finally, I finally said, do you want to stay in that chair? You know, that's where we're at here. I said, you either forgive your sister or you're going to sit there. And I said, now I want you to get up. So are you going to forgive her? And she goes, yeah, she's going to forgive her. So we get her up, and our nephew was there, and I said, you get on this side. So we get her up, and of course she's a little bit weak because, like I say, you're talking some bony legs. And so we get her up for just a few minutes, and she takes maybe one or two steps. She doesn't take much. And she said, "Ooh, I'm kind of weak." And I said, "Okay, sit down." But I said, "You are going to get up." I told everybody, "Start speaking in tongues, everybody here." I'd learned that at Emily Dodson's when she came and spoke. When she was doing deliverance, she said there's so much power when everybody in the church is speaking in tongues when you're trying to deliver people, and she obviously needed deliverance, and she needed to be able to walk. So we go back to her. Everybody's speaking in tongues. Everybody's hooting and hollering. This is an all-black church, and they love to worship, you know, and they were really talking to the Lord. So anyway, we get her back up, and she says, "Take my shoes off," and she needed a walker, and there was a walker there. They brought the walker out. So we take off her shoes, so now she's barefooted. And she starts walking by herself. And she walked about, I'd say, maybe 8 or 10 steps. It wasn't a great, maybe that far out. But still, she walked, and she wasn't walking. And so everybody there was just going crazy. And I know she's healed because she finally forgave her sister. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Isn't it wonderful? To learn, all you got to do is repent of sin and believe the word. So it's so amazing that what you see. And if there's anything that I learned up there in Indiana, we all need a Savior. We all need a healer. We all need a provider. We all need a deliverer. I mean, there's no difference. Anywhere you go, as I was looking at Scripture, I looked at this really came home to me. I've read this so many times, but in Matthew 8:13, I want us to look at Matthew 8:13, and I want us to see what Matthew 8:13 says. And I guess maybe before we look at Matthew 8:13, let's go. Well, let me just ask the question. We won't go there since we've done it the last couple of Sundays. In Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist came with what message? Repent. Everybody remembers what his message was. He only had one, didn't he? Repent, 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 repent for sin. You brood of vipers, you. Repent. I mean, he was really nice to those boys. Repent. And then in Matthew 4, Jesus come on the scene to preach his first message. And what was his message? Yes. There must be something to this repent stuff. You agree? Amen. Must be something to repenting. And so then when we come over here to this scripture in Matthew 8:13, and Jesus said unto the centurion soldier, "Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." And his servant was healed the same hour. Just think, as you have believed, this is something that's really beginning to soak in on me. As we believe, that's what we're going to have. We believe. We say, and like I was talking to a lady just a few minutes ago, and she said she was a Baptist and she believed the Bible. I told her, I said, "I was a Baptist for 50 plus years and I thought I believed the Bible too. And then I found out I didn't believe it. And the reason I didn't believe it is because it wasn't working for me. I wasn't getting answers to prayer." It's just like, I remember when I went out to West Texas here several years ago to a nursing home, and I went out there to teach, and when I got there, one of the elderly ladies that was in that nursing home, I asked her a question. I said, "Are you a Christian?" She said, "Yes, I am." I said, "Do you believe God's word?" She said, "Sir, I'm a Southern Baptist, and I believe every word in the Bible." I said, "Well, okay." So we talked for about 2 hours on faith, and she had just lost her grandson in an accident, and he died. So he was sick and in the hospital for several days, or maybe a week or two or three, whatever it was, and then he passed away. And at the end of that teaching on faith, she came up to me and she said, before today, I thought I had faith. But she said, I don't know what faith means. She said, you stood by faith for your granddaughter, and she was tore all to pieces, much, much worse than my grandson was. And you brought yours back to life, and mine died. She said, I thought I had faith, but she said, I didn't know how to stand on these promises and believe God's word. Well, there's no way out of it. The scripture says, as you have believed, so shall it be done unto you. So when you say, I believe, sometimes we really do believe, and sometimes we don't believe. I mean, it's so difficult to stand on these promises when there's something wrong with you. I mean, even the senior pastor of the church up there in Indiana where we went, he said, I so liked what you said. He said, I noticed when standing there watching you, he said, your hands are beginning to tremble. I said, yes, they are. I know that. And he said, why are they doing that? I said, because I'm living in a body that's wearing out. I said, it's going to wear out. I mean, Paul said his wore out. I mean, I don't think I'm going to be any greater than Paul, and I just don't think you can get there. But, you know, your body, in fact, I was talking about my hand shaking, and yesterday after we got back, we went up to Mom's Cafe to have something to eat, and Cheryl stuck her fork down in her food and raised it up to eat, take a bite, and everything on the fork fell off on the plate. She said, look at this. I said, well, look at what? She said, look at this. You did it again, and it's shaking like this, and it fell off on the plate. She said, I want this fixed now. Well, what did I do? I laid hands on her and prayed for her right there at the restaurant, and she eat her food.
We'll just shake together.
In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, do you see how easy it is to get off on the wrong track? I mean, it's so easy. You know, in other words, when you pray for something, if your hands don't stop shaking right then, you think, well, it didn't work. But it does work. The Word of God always works. You just have to stand your ground. And if you stand your ground, it will come to pass sooner or later. Amen. Now, just like Caitlin, when I walked into that hospital with my granddaughter when she was 3 years old, now she's now 19 years old. When I walked in there when she was 3 years old, I don't mind telling you, when I looked down at that little body laying there on that bed, and the head was twice its size, and that the doctor said, I'm sorry, sir, but her brain stem is severed. Her eyes are jerked out of her brain. Her skull is crushed in five places. All this area around her nose and her face where it hit the seat is all totally pulverized. And then he said, from there down, everything in her body is damaged somewhere. And said, there's absolutely zero chance for this little girl to live. She cannot make it. Now, when the doctor says that, what do most of us do? We believe what the doctor said. Now, did Jesus say right here in Matthew 8:13, as I believe, so shall it be unto me? Is that what he said?
Yes.
You have no idea how difficult it was that day when I looked down at that little body to say, the Word says in John 15:7, that if the Word stays in me and I stay in Him, I can ask Him for anything I want to, and He'll do it for me.
Amen.
So I'm going to ask you, Father, now this doctors and nurses and everything else standing all around me, I said, now, Father, in the name of Jesus, you made me a promise. I'm standing on this promise, and I'm asking you to fix all these little bones in her face here. It's all crushed and pulverized and mashed in and swelled back out. I'm asking you to put every little bone back in place with no, and put her skin back together with no scars. I'm asking you to fix her little body totally, completely, and restore the eyes, reconnect them, reconnect the brain stem, fix the skull, crushed skull, and put every bone back in the right place, and then every other damage that's done from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. I'm asking you to fix everything and make it perfect in Jesus' name. Now then, doctors and nurses, I guarantee you, my Jesus, I just talked to him, and he said that I could have whatever, so I'm asking him to do all this. Now, I'm going to guarantee you it's done in Jesus' name. Amen. When you say, as you have believed, you have no idea the thoughts that was running through my mind. You fool, you're making a fool of yourself in front of all these people. You know she can't live. Look at her. It's impossible for her to live. There is no way she can live. It can't happen. And even a week later, 9 days later, whenever that Dr. Davis, we came in there and she said, sir, you're the only man I've ever met that absolutely refuses to accept reality. She said, you know when we unplug her, she's going to decease. There's nothing attached to her brain, her brain stem severed. So when we disconnect her, I guarantee she will stop breathing and she will die. And at that time, I says, well, there's another scripture I'm going to use right here, and it's called Mark 11:23. Now, Mark 11:23 clearly says, I can speak to a mountain. And if I don't doubt in my heart, but I believe what I say with my mouth, and it comes out of my heart, that I can speak to a mountain, and the mountain will move and obey me. Now, if I can do that, surely I can speak to this little body, the Word of God, and see the Master put her back together. So I said, Mark 11:23 says, whatever I say with my mouth, if I believe with my heart, I can have it. So I said, my little granddaughter is going to live and run and play again. I guarantee it. And Miss Dr. Davis just said, well, okay, all we can do, just unplug her. And she said, you know, she will not live. I mean, you know what's wrong with the doctor? The doctors have too much doctor in them. And I had just enough Jesus in me that I was believing. You know, you got to believe. Now, this is where it really puts you to the test. It really puts you to the test. As you have believed. In other words, you see people all the time that come to us for healing, and they say, yes, I believe, and I pray. And I said, okay, then I'm going to pray for you that you will be healed. What do you want? And, well, I need my cancer taken care of. Or, well, let's give that cancer back to the devil. You know, we don't need that no more. Let's quit all this other nonsense and let's believe. And so when I get ready to believe, when they get ready, Dr. Davis said, well, we're going to unplug her and see what happens. I said, let me tell you one more time. I'm going to quote Mark 11:23 one more time. And it says, whatever I say with my mouth, if I believe with my heart, I can have it. Is that what it said, Mary?
Yes.
So as I say that, I said, now then, y'all go ahead and unplug her. I said, you see what she's doing, how the machine is running there. I said, I'm going to guarantee you. Now, you know, when you start hearing my words, you're going to realize that I really believe this book.
Amen.
It doesn't make any what the symptoms are.
Yeah.
I really believe this book, because you can't make a statement like this if you don't really believe this book, right?
Yeah.
And so anyway, I said, okay, I said, when y'all unplug her, I'm going to guarantee you she's not only not going to die, but she's going to start breathing over the machine on her own. By herself, she will breathe on her own. And so they all looked at me and they looked at each other and think, crazy grandfather in denial. So they unplugged her. They took everything off. And as they took everything off, you know, that little machine, I'll never forget that day. That little thing's pumping, you know, like this, like it's been doing all of a sudden. When they unplug it, about the second time there, it goes about 2 points past what it was doing before. And then it goes back down, and it goes back up about 2 points past what it was doing before. And this is on her own. Now then, we're watching this. We're all sitting here watching this. And the doctors, including Dr. Davis, this is the words that come out of their mouth. She can't do that. This is impossible for her to breathe. She can't do that. After they said that about 3 or 4 times, I said, now, folks, let me tell y'all why you never see a miracle from God. You don't believe. I said, you know, I've been talking to y'all about Jesus. You all tell me you're believers. But I said, y'all really don't believe. Because now then, if they had really been believing believers, at least the second time, maybe the first time could have been kind of an overage somewhere that caused us to do this. But after two or three times, if you're really a believer, you're going to be where I am. Look at my Jesus go. But that's what, we literally sat there and watched her for an hour, watched her breathe. And for an hour while we're sitting there, about probably 10 or 15 minutes into it, she lightly coughed. And when she coughed, all of the doctors there said, "That's impossible. She can't do that." Do y'all see how important this word is, as you have believed?
Amen.
Number, as you have believed. Now, what are they believing? They're not believing the word, are they?
No.
They're believing that it can't happen. And whenever it can't happen, and there's zero faith in what they're doing, so if there's zero faith, is she going to live?
No,
not if it's up to them. She's going to die. Just like they said, when we pull, and I wonder how many children that's down there that as they're pulled, the tubes are pulled off of those children, and those children die because they have just spoken a curse. And they don't realize that Jesus said, you know, when he came to this earth, and this is bigger than us. When Jesus came to this earth and he walked by that fig tree that morning and says, "May you never bear fruit again." And the tree died. So that afternoon or the next morning when they come by, Peter said, "Lord, the fig tree that you cursed is withered. How did you do that?" Well, this is what Jesus said. He said, "Peter, not only can you do what I did to the fig tree, but if you believe with your heart and speak it with your mouth in faith, you can take that mountain over there and you can command that mountain to fall from there to into the sea. And if you don't doubt in your heart and you believe what comes out of your mouth, that mountain will obey you." Now, that's just a little bit bigger than most of us. I'm still trying to wrap my brain around that. Because if I get to the point where I can really literally wrap my brain around those words that Jesus said, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, what can I do? Jesus answered that himself, didn't he? When he said, if you believe with no doubt in your heart, absolutely nothing will be impossible with you. Is that what he said? So you see, when people say, "I believe," we don't believe. When I say I believe, some of the time, I don't believe either. Now, isn't that sad? But if you think that's not, if you think that unbelief is not rampant in the church, you just start going to a church, any church, I don't care what church it is, and you ask, "Do you believe the Word of God?" And if they're really a good church, guess what you'll hear? Guess what they'll hear? "Yes, I believe the Word of God. Absolutely. I believe everything from Genesis to maps, and then even maps. I believe everything." But if you believe everything, if God made a promise like this, in fact, John 14:13-14, let's look at this wonderful promise that he made. And say, this is just one of many. John 14:13-14, I want you to see this. "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name." Now, what kind of limitation did he put there? "That will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." And verse 14, he puts a double whammy on it. "And if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now then, if I really believe this book, this is where you're going to separate the boys from the girls, or the believers from the unbelievers. If I really believe this book, if I know that Jesus can't lie, and I know that he's going to do what he said he's going to do, then if anything happens to me, I don't care whether it's my shaking or whatever, of course I've asked several times in prayer and I'm still waiting for my answer, but I know it's going to happen. But the thing about it is, if I really believe this book is real, instead of going to a medical doctor, I go to Jesus. And then I stand on his word. And if I go to him and I stand on his word, that's when you really find out what you're made out of. Because you know where 99% of the church goes when they get sick? To a doctor. Absolutely to a doctor. Hey, but Thurman, God made doctors. Well, I'm sure he probably did, because if he hadn't, most of us would already be dead. Because we don't know how to stand by faith. Is that right? Miss Paula, over all those years that you were sick, at least 20, well, just an estimate, how often did you go to the doctor?
How many doctors? Probably had eight specialists I went to.
Wow, at least eight specialists. And all this time you were a lovely lady of the Lord, believing in the Word of God. You thought.
I thought.
See, you see what I mean?
Yeah.
And so you stayed sick for 20 years.
Yes.
In excruciating pain.
Excruciating.
And then you finally found the truth.
Yes.
And Mike and Gracie, I believe it was, prayed for you.
Yes.
And they found your sin, and they got to pray for you and built your faith up, and once you got healed, now you ain't been back to a doctor since. Wow. Isn't that amazing? And see, I bet you at any time I could have asked her, and all the, are you a Christian? What would you have answered?
Absolutely,
I'm a Christian. Do you believe the book? What would you have said? The only problem is there's just a little bit in there you didn't know, right?
That's it.
Yeah, but once you learned it, and once you repented, now you do believe God, and guess what? He done a wonderful work, and he healed you.
Yes.
Now you've been well for what?
It'll be 2 years.
2 years?
Next March.
Hallelujah.
What, honey?
Grace wants to give her testimony.
Okay. Not now. Praise the Lord. You know, the thing about it is, when we look at the Word, when we look at these promises, I just read John 14, 13, and 14. What did those two promises, and that's just one place in two verses in the whole Word of God that the Lord said we could ask. Tony, what did he say you could ask for there? I mean, that, you know, a smart man like you, if he says anything, you'd think that he means what he says, right, Tony?
That's right.
And he does, doesn't he? He does. So why this scripture where Jesus told the centurion, as you have believed, so shall it be done for you. Is he saying the same thing to you and me today?
Yes.
He's saying the same thing, as you believe. Well, most of us, I mean, if you'd ask me, I mean, just like I'm talking about Miss Paula over there a while ago, when I was a Southern Baptist and a deacon in the Baptist church in Louisville, Texas for 25 or 30 years that I was there, I guarantee I was on fire for Jesus, and you would have asked me, Thurman, are you a believer in Jesus Christ? It would have insulted me. After what I'd done for the kingdom of God and how I worked for things. And I mean, I used to maintain the buses, and you know, if they blowed an engine up in a bus, I'd go get the bus and bring it to my shop, and I'd pull the engine out of it and overhaul it and fix it and pay for the parts and everything. I mean, I loved Jesus. I wanted to show him how much I loved him, what I was willing to do. It didn't matter what went wrong with nothing. If they needed something in the church, I'd fix it. I'd buy the stuff and fix it myself. I had a good job. I didn't mind helping the church out. I mean, I was a man of God. And you have to do, you love Jesus? I'd have said, well, yes, I love Jesus. Why do you think I do all these things? Because it's not because I don't love him. I do love him. Well, have you thought about praying over this or that? I thought, well, has it come to that? You see what?
Right.
I mean, I didn't have no faith. I mean, I could overhaul an engine for the bus. I could put cameras up in the nursery where all the nursery workers could watch Brother Ben talk in the daytime, because the nursery was so far away you couldn't hear it. So I run cameras and cord and everything. Put cameras and bought TVs. And I mean, I fixed those girls in the nursery up. I mean, why did I do all that? I did all that because I love Jesus. I didn't do none of that to bring no glory to me. I love Jesus. But did I ever see, back in those days, did I ever see any answer to prayer? I didn't pray any prayers. I just did the work myself. I don't need no help. I can do it myself. Well, just like Mike. One day, he got all upset about a timing chain he's finally put on, and he's trying and trying, and he can't get that line alignment tool in there. He's been hours working on this thing. His wife comes out there way late that night and said, honey, what's taking you so long? He said, I can't get this pin in here. And she says, have you prayed about it yet? He said, I don't need to pray about this. I can do this myself. I thought, that sounds like me. We don't need no help there. So he sits there and works another hour or whatever trying to get that pin out, and he can't do it. She said, well, if you want to stay here all night, we'll just stay here all night. But if you'd like to see that done, I believe if you'll just pray, God will take it out. And he said, okay, then I'll pray. And he prayed, and what happened, Mike? You see, for men like you and me, God has to get our attention. He has to let us know that we have to depend on him. And that's what he was doing for you, Mike, and that's what he done for me. He's letting me know, just like the more so that I see this scripture, when I look at this, as I have believed, as you have believed, so be it done unto you. Now, you think you believe right, but if you're not in the Word on a regular basis, you're not filling the Word up in your heart every day, you believe the wrong thing, I guarantee. I guarantee you're not believing the right thing. As you have believed, so shall it be done. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have believed and prayed for somebody in the last week or two and seen a miracle? Some of you have, praise the Lord, but most of you have not. So what's wrong? We're believing wrong. Do you see this? You know, if you believe that that scripture we just read, John 14:13-14, really did work. And I've been using Tony as an example here. I'm going to use him one more time here. Here a while back, he messed up his shoulder, broke it, fractured it or something. I think he went to the doctor to get him. Yeah, they went to get a check to check it out and see what was wrong. When they told him what was wrong, he said, you know, I'm going to believe God for my healing of my shoulder. Is that right, Tony? So he come home and he said, I've been learning all these promises and going out here to Thurman's church. I'm reading the Word, and what Thurman's teaching is what my Bible says. So I believe it means what it says. So I'm just going to believe God, and Lord, I'm going to trust you to heal my shoulder. And it took a couple of months or something like that, didn't it, Tony? But he fixed it, didn't he?
No pain.
No pain or nothing. Isn't that amazing? Now, a few years ago, you wouldn't have done that. You would have went to the doctor. You would have got the stuff, the splints or whatever they put in.
They wanted to do surgery.
Well, naturally. Oh, goodness. And thank God for good doctors, right? Because you might have gone around with a bad shoulder for the rest of your life if you hadn't known the promises of God and stood on them. And as you believed, it happened. I mean, that's been a year or two or three ago or something, hasn't it, Tony? A couple of years ago, and you ain't had no trouble with that arm at all. It just works like it's supposed to, right?
Oh, wow.
Do what?
Golf better. He said he golfed better.
Oh, wow. So, Jesus. Oh, that's what I started to say. See, when you obey God, he even puts a little side effect in there that you didn't even ask for. Now then, Tony, he's going to use me. He's going to do what I said. I'm going to give him a little bit better golf game. Isn't that wonderful? Oh. Just think of what he said there as he's talking to the centurion soldier. And, of course, the story that's there in the Bible, when the centurion came and he wanted his servant healed, Jesus told him, said, I will go and I will heal him. And then whenever the man says, Master, I'm not worthy for you to even come under my roof, but I'm a man under authority. I've got soldiers and servants, and they do what I tell them. So I know you're a man under authority, so if you'll just speak the word, I know my servant will be healed. And Jesus just threw his hands up and said, in all Israel, I have not seen such great faith. Great faith. Now, do we need that same kind of faith?
Yes.
We need that same kind of faith so that when Jesus looks at us, every time we need such great faith, I don't care what's wrong with us, and I'm telling you, you know, that's just like the other day, when I tell some of these stories, some people just cringe. But when this little girl, I saw this on Sid Roth, just the other day, there was a little woman, had a boy and two daughters, and she's going to the grocery store, and she told them to be sure and stay in the house till she gets back. Well, the two girls, they stayed in the house, they obeyed mother, but the little boy, you know how 12, 13-year-old boys are, they lose their interest real quick. And so he's outside, he goes outside, no big deal, I'm just out in the yard, and there's a bucket out in the yard, bam, kicking the bucket all over the place, a gallon jug of muriatic acid, and it's extremely hot outside. After he's kicked it around, stirred it up real good, he decides to wonder what's in it. So he reaches down, gets this gallon jug, and cracks the lid right here, and it, acid all over his face, ruins his eyes, everything. He screams. His sisters come out and see what happened, and they call mother. Mother comes running home. This is what she told him. Did I tell you to stay in the house? Yes, mother, you did. How come you didn't? Well, I just wanted to go out and look around. Because you did not obey me. The Lord clearly says in his word, children, you must obey your parents in everything so that it will go well with you and you'll have a long life. So, son, I want you to repent to God for breaking my rules. I told you not to. I want you to tell God you're sorry and that you won't do that no more. So he obeyed mother. Now then, after you've repented to God, I want you to repent to me. Tell me you're wrong and you're sorry you disobeyed me. And we're sitting here with acid all over this kid's face and his eyes being dissolved and everything else. And he does. Then she says, now then get your towel and go in the bathroom and wash your face. Now that you've repented. How many people do you know that their acid in the face of your child is going to do what this woman's doing? How many people, you ever met anybody who will do this? What's the first thing they do? Grab them up and start down the street to the closest hospital, right?
Yeah.
That boy goes into that room, washes his face, and dries it with a towel. And when he dries his, after repentance, and he looks at the mirror, and guess what he saw?
Perfect.
A perfect face with no problems. His eyes were perfect and everything. This story really happened. In fact, you saw that, didn't you? Did you see that too?
Her name is
Okay, so several of y'all in here saw the Sid Roth show. Let me tell you, this is where the body of Christ loses it. We say we believe this book, but we don't. We don't. If we really believe this book, we would do what this woman does. Now, let me tell you, this woman believed the book. Don't you agree with that, Mike?
Amen.
I mean, this woman, she believed the book. And you saw her and I saw her on TV. Several of us saw this woman. And to think, by knowing what the Word says and knowing that her God will do exactly what he said and what he promised. Just like Tony. Tony knew God would take care of that arm. He knew he would. If he wakes up tomorrow and it's still hurting, that don't mean nothing. It's still going to work because God said it in his Word. Right, Tony? And it did. And it did. It worked. Just think. As Jesus told that centurion, as you have believed, so shall it be done. Now then, is he still telling you and me the same thing? As we believe, so shall it be done unto you. As you believe. So here's the thing. I do this all the time to people. After I find their sin, if they have any bitterness, unforgiveness, or whatever it is, they got to confess that sin. And just like, you know, that girl, that's when Cheryl asked her if she was on drugs, and she said, no, I haven't done any drugs. But it's amazing. It's amazing the number of people. When we were in Baltimore, one time there's a girl come up, and she was having trouble with her female parts. And Cheryl said, are you sleeping with somebody out of wedlock? Said, are you married? She says, no. And Cheryl said, are you sleeping with somebody out of wedlock? Yeah, no, I don't do that. We said, well, okay, but the evidence is against you. You know, it appears the scripture, Jeremiah 21:14. Is that right, Scott?
21:14.
Put Jeremiah 21:14 up here one more time, and let's look. Well, we hadn't had it up here yet today, but put Jeremiah 21:14 up here, and let's see what this says. Cheryl, you got a mic? Read that one. But I will punish
you. But I will punish you according to the fruit of your doings, saith the Lord. And I will kindle a fire in the forest thereof, and it shall devour all things round about it.
I will punish you according to the fruit of your doing. Now, if this woman has got some kind of cancer in her female organs, obviously she's been doing something she's not supposed to be doing with her female organs. Because it's just not normal for cancer to come upon your female organs. So when Cheryl asked her, are you sleeping around? She said, no. Okay. I said, you're sure you're not doing? No, I'm not doing that. I said, okay. I said, the only thing I can do then is call upon the mercy of God, because I don't know what your sin is. So we called upon the mercy of God. Can we do that?
Yes.
Yes, we can. We can call on His mercy. But anyway, she didn't get quiet to the back door until she turned around and came back and butted right back in the line and says, Mr. Scherner, I'm sorry, I lied. I've been sleeping with a guy.
My roommate.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Oh, that's okay. You know, God, He must have been behind a cloud that day. He can't see you. Y'all don't think that's possible, huh?
No.
You don't think you can hide from God?
No.
Why do we try to do things like that? Why do we lie to God? I mean, you can lie to me. I'm not God. You know, I can't tell whether you're telling the truth or not, but I can look at the evidence, and the more scriptures I know, the more I know that you're right or wrong. And when I see something, when I receive that scripture, I will punish you according to the fruit of your doing. I will punish you according to the fruit of your doing. That means you got to be doing something with whatever, right?
That redheaded guy, his mother had committed adultery, and that passed down to him, and then he wanted it off all his kids. Remember that?
Oh, yes, yes, absolutely, yes. Yeah, it is amazing. But, you know, when you stop and think, of course, you know, when you look at this scripture, as you have believed, Jesus clearly said to the centurion soldier, when he said, if you will only speak the word, I know my servant will be healed. So Jesus said, wow, what great faith. He said, as you have believed, so shall it be done. As you believe, Tony, your arm was going to get well. It got well. And I didn't know until today that you got a bonus. That's nice. Thank you, Mary, for breaking that up. I didn't know that. Did God make him better than you? Or can you still beat him? Maybe I shouldn't ask that question. I'm just kidding you too. Oh my goodness. But it is wonderful when you see people that is willing to trust God. Now then, to kind of add a little something to that, we look at James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, and that's where we pray for something. Look what God says in James 1, 6 and 7. Look at this. James 1, 6 and 7. But let him ask in faith. How much wavering? But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea with the wind and wind and tossed. Verse 7, the next verse. But let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. Now, I want you to stop and think. Let's say that you have whatever, cancer or whatever you have, and you come up and we find your sin and you repent of your sin, and we pray for you. Now, as we pray for you and ask God to heal you, what are you going to believe at that point?
I'm healed.
Okay. You better believe that, right? What if you say, well, I got an appointment with the doctor next Thursday, and we're going to go see what he says? That's doubt, and that's unbelief. In other words, here's the thing. When you're prayed for, what do you have to believe? That you're healed. Just like Nate said, I'm healed. Now, that if you don't believe that, then you're unbelief. According to the Word of God. Now, I didn't write the book. Jesus wrote the book. I didn't write it. So think how many people that have been to this church that I prayed for them and stood on the promises of God, and as they went their way, believe. When I asked, I said, well, are you healed? Absolutely. It's done. Just like Jack Butler. when Jack Butler, when I prayed for Jack's hand, when he had that big old tumor on the back of his hand, and I prayed and I said, "Now, Jack, what are you going to do?" He said, "It's done, Thurman. It's done. It's gone." I said, "But Jack, it's still right there." He said, "No, but no. But you said I got to believe it's gone." So he said, "I may be looking at that tumor. It may look like it's there, but as far as I'm concerned, it's gone." Now, what is he believing?
It's gone.
It's gone. Every time Jack was here for the next 10 months, every time Jack was here, and he's out of town a lot, but when he was here, every time I'd see him, I said, "Well, Jack, how's the tumor?" He said, "It's gone." The first time he said that, I said, "Well, let me see it." I thought, "Man, it's already gone." So he held his hand out, and I said, "Jack, you're lying. It's still there." He said, "Nope, you said I had to see it gone, so it's gone. In the name of Jesus, that thing is gone." So every time he was here for the next 10 months, I'd ask him, "How's your tumor?" He said, "It's gone." And I said, "Well, do I need to look at it?" He said, "Well, you can if you want to. If you don't want to, it's okay with me." But he said, "It's gone." Sometimes I'd say, "Hold your hand out." He'd hold your hand out. And I said, "Okay, it's still there. But it's gone far as he's concerned." 10 total months later, he's confessing it's gone. One day he walks in. I said, "How's your tumor?" He said, "It's gone." I said, "Let me see it." And he held his hand out. And I jumped up and down and screamed. I said, "It is gone. It really is gone." He said, "What are you getting so excited about? I've been telling you for 10 months it's gone." Now then, did he believe from day one?
Yes.
He did. He believed from day one. And he was a doctor himself. And his daughter is a surgeon. And she kept wanting to cut this thing off of Daddy's hand. He said, "You ain't going to cut this off my hand." He said, "I went out to Thurman's church and God healed my back. So I know if he healed my back, I know he'll take that thing off." And so he did. And he did. And he got it taken off. Now then, that scripture, that as you believe, does work, doesn't it? But it only works if you really believe. So what do you believe? Now, when Jesus says, this is so important, when Jesus said, "As you have believed," that's just like one day out here, we have a green Suburban Chevrolet, and it had about 150,000, 160,000 miles on it. And that's usually about where the fuel pumps quit working on Chevrolet Suburbans, somewhere around 150,000, 175,000 miles, nearly all of them. Not all, but lots of them. Anyway, we came in one day and parked the car out there, and it was running fine. We come in to do something. We went out to get in the car to go somewhere and wouldn't start. So I did everything I knew to do, and then I come in and call Mike. I said, "Mike, my car pulled up here. It's running great." And then I said, "We stopped." And then I said, "I tried to crank it to go to town with Cheryl, and it won't go." He said, "Well, probably your fuel pump's stuck." He said, "If it run good all the way," and he said, "probably your fuel pump." I said, "So what do I do?" He said, "Well, you can get under the car there and tap on the bottom of the tank real hard. It might break it loose before you can get it down here, and I'll put you a new pump on it." I said, "Okay." So I went out there, and I told Cheryl everything he said. So I leaned down under the car, laid on my side, and rolled under there and pounded on the tank a couple of times. I said, "Okay, honey, start it." She said, "Rrrr." Wouldn't do a thing. So I hit it a couple more times. I said, "Do it again." She said, "Rrr." I said, "It ain't going to work. It's not going to start." It's going to start. Don't you have none of that negative stuff. This car's fixing to start. Now then, car, you will start. Now, don't hit the fuel tank or nothing. You will start. And it is kicked off. She said, "Now get in. We'll take it to Mike." You talk about, you don't have a chance when you got a woman with faith like that.
Amen.
So we took the car down and Mike put a new fuel pump on it, and it's been running like a champ for the last 50,000 miles. But I mean, you ought to have been with me that day and seen this woman. I mean, she was on top of that thing. I mean, don't you say this car ain't going to start. It's going to start. I mean, she's screaming at this car. That's one time even I could hear her. Sometimes she speaks so soft, I have trouble hearing. But that day I could hear her. As she believed. That car just kicked right over. Me beating on the tank and everything, it didn't do nothing at that time. But boy, when she spoke to it, does speaking to something make it work?
Yes.
If Jesus can speak to a fig tree and the fig tree die, then Cheryl or me could speak to a fuel pump. And now since then, I've done that several times. But you have to believe. And I don't care what's wrong with you. And I've seen so many people that had a problem, and we prayed, and then after we get through praying, and just like some of the people in Des Moines, and I mean Fort Wayne, they're no different than us, no different. You pray, or they come up and say, "I've got this problem with my husband, or my problem with my mate, or whatever, and I just can't There's nothing I can do. It's impossible. Do you know, as a son of God and a daughter of God, when you tell me it's impossible, nothing can be done, I know you don't know much of the Word of God. If you know Mark 11:23, and you know Matthew 8:17 and 16 and all those scriptures, if you know those scriptures, what is possible if you know those scriptures?
Anything.
Anything. Nothing is impossible. Now then, when we stop and think about this scripture, as you have believed, is what you believe important?
Yes.
Very important. It depends on whether do you want something from God. Do you want him to heal you or whatever? Do you want him to stop shaking your hands? Do you want you want to have perfect eyesight? I mean, I think about that one guy that had 2,700 vision, and I use Mark 11:23, and that guy, it took him 10 months with him speaking constantly over his eyes. Mark 11:23 says, I have perfect eyesight, up close, far away, night and day. I can see perfect all the time in Jesus' name. And after about 10 months, the Lord spoke to him and said, you finally believe it. He said, Lord, I believed it the first time I said it. He said, no, you didn't. You just thought you did. You did not believe. He said that verse over and over and over for 10 months, and then he said, when the Lord told me, but today you believe it. So he pulled off the side road to stop, took his glasses off, which were big, thickest Coke bottles, and said, Lord, I can see perfect up close, far away, night and day. I can see perfect in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. It's done. And when he said that, he said, Thurman, everything came into perfect, clear focus. He thought for 10 months he'd been saying the right thing. He'd been saying the right thing, but he didn't believe it. When he finally believed it, it did work. Because you can tell by what you say and how things are working whether you really believe it or not. Lord, I believe it. I do believe in Jesus' name. I have perfect eyesight. 20/10 vision. Up close, far away, night and day, I can see perfect in the name of Jesus. Do I have cancer? Absolutely not. I'm going to repent of all sin. You know, when we take these scriptures up here that we had on the board here today, if you have repented of every sin for whatever, as you talk to a prayer warrior here in a little while, there'll be different things that each one of them will deal with you, but they will be looking for your sin because you have one. Without sin, living under grace, there is no sickness and no disease without sin. The scripture clearly says, if we obey him and do everything he says, he will take all sickness away from us and we will have no sickness. Now, if God made that statement and you got some sickness in your life, what's wrong with you? You got a sin. You got something in there that he doesn't like. And you got to find it and get rid of it. And when you find it and get rid of it, then he made all these wonderful promises. And one of those promises I want you to see, it's just as important as this scripture here in Matthew 8:13, is Matthew 8:16 and 17. Just down just a little bit in that same little chapter, Matthew 8:16 and 17. Look at what Matthew 8:16 and 17 says. When the evening was come, and it brought to him many that were possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that was sick. You know, what did he do there? If these people which had a problem, first thing, what was in there causing the problem?
Demon.
A demon. The demon was in there causing the problem. And what did Jesus do with that demon? Okay, and the first thing he did that he doesn't say right there, but we're going to see in a little later where this comes in. He has the power on earth to forgive sin. Jesus Christ has power. Now, the Sadducees and Pharisees had a real problem with this. Who do you think you are forgiving sin? Only God can forgive sin. But who is in him?
God.
Who's in you?
God.
That's the same God that's in Jesus in you and me. So when Jesus made these statements that the same things that I've done shall you do, only greater things than these that I've done shall you do in my name. That's just a little more than the average Christian can grasp. We just don't believe that. But look at this. Look what he says there after he says he cast out the demons. Look at that next verse 17, to see what that says. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, now look at this. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. Just let that soak in. If Cheryl's got a problem with her hand, and I wrote you up and I take that hand right there and I say, I'm going to take that sickness away from you. If I reach up and if I'm going to say, I'm going to bear that for her, and I'm going to take that sickness, when I turn her hand loose, how much sickness does she have left?
None.
That's what he did for you and me. That's what Jesus did for every one of us. Miss Paula, he bore your sickness and removed your disease so you don't have to have it no more. And what a difference it made in your life. But who did he do that for? All of us. Every one of us. If Jesus has borne our sickness and removed our disease, there should be nobody in here or anywhere else in the body of Christ, because of his grace, we should not be sick. Are you seeing this like I see this? If he bore my, in other words, if he comes in and says, Thurman, I bore your sickness and I removed your disease. If he bore my sickness and removed my disease, then how much should I have, Scott?
None.
That's the way I look at that. Do you see that like that, Mike? That'd be kind of like me taking a car over to Mike and say, I need a timing chain put in it. And he puts me a timing chain in and says, okay, Thurman, I did that. I put you a new chain in, it's done. Your car is fixed. So I get in and push it out to the shop and say, I need to tear it down and fix it. I need to work on this for it to run. Would that be stupid? He's sitting in the shop saying, I just put a brand new one in it for you. You know, it's all done. It run perfect. So what are you doing? What are you tearing it up for? Well, I thought I need to fix it. He said, I fixed it. That's exactly what we're doing with Jesus. When he bore, I mean, is that what your Bible said? He bore your sickness and removed your disease? If he did, then all you got to do is repent of sin. And when you repent of sin, then you gather that little scripture together over here and say, Lord, thank you for bearing my sickness and removing my disease. That means I don't have it no more. When you learned that and received that, it worked for you, didn't it, Paula? Isn't that amazing? Just think, if we only believe, technically speaking, if we only believe, we put the doctors out of business.
Right.
You don't have to worry. I got a feeling there's going to be plenty of Christians that's still going to go to the doctor. I don't think there's any. Do you, Miss Jackie? There's going to be plenty of them go, aren't they? Wow. Just think, as you have believed, think about how powerful that is. As you have believed. I mean, but you got to believe the right thing. And that's we don't do that. We don't do that. We don't believe the right thing. You got to believe the right thing. You got to. And then when you believe the right thing, that he bore my sickness and he removed my disease. If Jesus bore my sickness and removed my disease, that's just like that day back years ago when I was still working in the engineering world. I got my left leg burned real bad. A boiler, kid blew a boiler, a big 250 horse boiler, blew this thing down, and I was standing right between these two boilers, and it just drenched my left leg from my knee all the way down to my foot with 250 degree water. It just skinned me alive. I mean, the skin on my, it just run down in my shoe, you know. It was amazing what happened. And I looked at that, and of course, the general manager, they brought him back there. He throwed me in a car and took me over to the hospital there on the airport. And I mean, I told him, I said, I'm going to be okay. He said, no, you got to listen to what these doctors say. I said, I'm going to be okay. And so anyway, the doctors looked at me and everything. He said, well, you've done a good job. You just burned all the skin off. Said, you got first, second, third degree burns. Said, you're going to be out of business for about 8 weeks. I said, no, doc, I'll be back to work next Monday. He looked at me and I said, did you fall out of a tree? On your head or what? Is this boiler water have an effect on what? No, you will be, it'll be at least 8 weeks before you'll be back to work. I said, no, doc, I'll be back next Monday. Now, what do I believe? What do I believe? I believe I'm going to be back to work in Monday. That's only a week off. This was the first part of the week. I think it was one Monday or Tuesday when this happened. So anyway, when I told him that, he said, nope. So he took me in there and pulled my shoe off, and they cleaned all of. He said, you really done a good job, because he said, it's very easy to debris. He said, all you got to do is just get a hold of the loose skin, just slip it off there. He said, it's really easy. Huh?
You're grossing the mouth.
I'm grossing about. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to gross y'all. After all, I was the one that was there, not you. If you're having trouble with this and me telling you about me, you'd really have to have trouble if it had been you. So anyway, Anyway, after that, well, he wanted me to come back a couple of days later and go to, maybe it was Thursday or Friday that week. He wanted me to sit in some kind of a liquid machine, you know, that was like put some kind of something on my leg or something. So I went one time, and I went back and I told him, I said, now I won't be back no more, Doc. He said, I will have to say, in the few days it's been since this happened, this leg has healed faster than any leg I've ever seen burn that bad in my life.
Amen.
Now, why was it healing so fast? Because I'm believing and I'm speaking the Word of God. So I didn't go anymore. I didn't go back to the doctor no more. And, of course, Monday I come to work. And I didn't go by Brother Williams' shop because I knew that if he saw me, he heard what the doctor said, and he'd be fussing because I was there. So I went to one of the places where nobody knew I'd had it. So, you know, I mean, you understand what you have to do? You have to do this. So anyway, over the years, several years went by, and then all of a sudden, after Cheryl and I got married, this left leg began to have problems, and it looked like it was, what would we call that?
Blood clot.
It looked like I was having a blood clot. My leg every once in a while would start tingling, and when it would tingle, I would look at it. I'd wake up in the morning, I'd look at my leg, and it looked awful. Really looked awful. And so one day it happened, and I called a doctor friend of mine, and I think he come looked at it first time. Him and another friend of mine too came looked at it, and he said, well, Thurman, what I really need to do is take you to the hospital and do surgery on your leg because you got a blood clot. And it said, if it turns loose, it's going to go to your heart and kill you or your brain. So he said, we need to do surgery on you. I said, well, you know that ain't going to happen. He said, I was afraid that's what you would say. Now then, why would he be afraid that's what I was going to say? Because I am. Does he know I'm a man that loves Jesus? He sure does. But see, he's got the same problem. He's got too much Jesus in him. I mean, too much doctor in him. So anyway, this goes on and off every 4, 5, 6 months. It happens to me. It'd get okay. Cheryl would pray over me and everything, and things would get okay. So, but anyway, every 6 months or so, I'd have a flare-up with my leg. And so, and every time it'd flare up, she'd make me stay in bed a couple of days, and she'd anoint me with oil and pray over me and everything. Finally, one day it happened, and when it did, when I woke up that morning, my leg was tingling like crazy, and I pulled my britches leg up and looked at it, and I said, wow. She said, what's wrong? I said, well, I've got that problem again. My leg's all swelled up and bloody and looks terrible. And she looked at it, and she said, oh, my gosh, it is. She said, get back in that bed. I'm going to anoint you with oil and pray the prayer of faith. I said, that's it, woman. No, it's over. I said, we ain't doing this no more. I said, I've been doing this. I said, every time God gives me this test, I fail it. I fail this test. I said, I mean, I'm not going to fail it this time. I said, you can anoint me with oil, you can pray over me, whatever, but I'm going to get out of this bed, I'm going to put on my work clothes, and I'm going to work. She said, but honey, look at your leg. I said, no, I don't want to look at my leg, because if I look at it, I might be swayed by what I see.
Right.
Now, is that the way we are? When you look at your leg and, oh, it looks awful, you think, oh my God, what am I doing here? Let me get in that bed. But no, I ain't looking at that leg, I'm just going to go to work. It's a day like today. It was 100 degrees. I'm doing a metal building down on in there that I needed to work on. And I'm building a building. And so anyway, I go to work. Cheryl, she's all upset with me. I said, honey, don't say a word. I said, I'm going to work. She said, what if it turns loose and kills you? I said, I get to go home to be with Jesus. See, that's the way you got to go about this. I mean, are we going to be the winner, Miss Paula? If we get killed or we die, we're still going to win?
That's it.
I mean, we get to go on. Now, what could be better than dying and going on to be with Jesus?
Nothing.
Nothing, that's right. So when you really get that down, you have no problems of walking by faith, because if it doesn't work, you get to go on and be with Jesus. So, and that's where I knew. So anyway, I went out that day and I worked. I put the metal on that building. It was 100 degrees, just like it is today. It was so hot you couldn't hold it, hardly with gloves. But anyway, me and Bruce was building some stuff, and whenever we finally got through that afternoon, I got my pickup and drove back home. We got over here in Cheryl. When I walked in, she hadn't called me or nothing all day. I walked in, she said, how's your leg? I said, well, I don't know. I haven't looked at it. I said, obviously it's still down there because I'm walking. You know, if you're walking, it must still be down there, right? You think it is? So I said, she said, can I look at it? I said, yes, honey, you can look at it. So I went over and sat down. She pulled my breeches leg up and looked, and she said, honey, it's perfect. There's not a thing wrong with your leg. That was my last test. I've never had another time with that blood clot in my left leg, but I had one every 4 to 6 months, as long as I didn't overcome it with the word. Once I overcome it with the word, that's it. Done. Done, done, done. No more problems, no more blood clots, nothing. My legs have both worked perfect, and that's been, what, 3, 4, 5 years ago since I had the last one?
2015 was the last one, so 3 years.
Okay, 3 years. But isn't that amazing how God puts you to the test to find out what you're going to do? Now, why does he do this to us, Paula? He's find out where our faith is. That's absolutely right. He's training you and me how to be overcomers, isn't he, girl? And that's what he wants. And he knows if we don't make it and we die in it, it ain't no big deal. He'll be standing on the other side waiting for us when we get there. Somebody says, what's the big deal? You know, somebody says, good grief, you talk about dying. It's easy. It is. All you got to do is just say, here I come, Lord. Isn't that true? I mean, if somebody dies here in the church, there ain't no use to get all excited and upset. Let's just jump up and down and start praising the Lord and thank him because he's bringing one of his kiddos home. Dying is different to us than him. We see dying, we think, oh, this is terrible, this is awful. Just like I told Cheryl one day, I said, if something happens and I fall dead in the floor, I said, it's okay for you to pray over me one time, but if I don't come back from the dead, whatever you do, don't you dare call 911, because I said, if you call 911, I'm going to get up off the floor and get you. I don't want 911 messing with me. I'd rather die and go on to be with Jesus. Y'all understand where I'm coming from? Yes, I have no problem with going home when Jesus is ready. I have no problem. So praise the Lord. Wow. So anyway, as you have believed, what are you going to do? What are you going to believe? You're going to believe the word where that you can stand on those promises? Let me tell you, if you look at this, Matthew 8:17, that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. If you really meditate on that, I can stand by faith. In fact, I was telling the people up in Fort Wayne that for 35 years I've been standing on the word, and I haven't been to a hospital, haven't been to a doctor, nothing for 35 years. And I said, you know, the reason I can do that, I said, it's not because I'm perfect, but the one that I serve is perfect. And he bore my sickness and removed my disease. So if he bore my sickness and removed my disease, then it's up to me to stand on those promises by faith and not have to go to a hospital. Believe. If I believe that he bore my sickness and removed my disease, all I got to do is repent when I sin. And we all do, don't we?
Yes.
When I do sin, all I got to do is say, Lord, I repent. Yeah, Lord, I got upset with John Doe or whatever. I repent. I forgive him or her, whatever, and I'm going to walk in love. Now, Lord, I thank you that I'm not, don't have to have no sickness, no disease. The Lord tells me even if I get bitter and into unforgiveness, I have one day. Did he say, do not let the sun go down on your wrath? He gives you one day, doesn't he? So don't go there. If you happen to get mad at somebody or bitter, go to them, get right with them, forgive them, walk in love with them. As long as you get that done in one day, you don't have to worry. Now, what if you don't get it done? The next morning, you wake up with a critter in bed with you, which if you think it's dangerous waking up with a scorpion in bed with you, this might be a little more rugged than a scorpion. And we know who he is, don't we? Who do you think you're going to wake up in bed with?
Satan.
There's a whole lot of critters that I don't want to go to bed with or wake up with, and he's one of them. You understand where I'm coming from? Especially since the scripture says he come to steal, kill, and to destroy. So I definitely don't want to wake up with that beast in bed with me. So what do I have to do to make sure he never wakes up in bed with me or I wake up in bed with him?
Repent
and walk in love, right? Okay. Now then, is it important what you believe? It is, isn't it? Jesus told this centurion that his worker, because of he believed, was going to be healed. Because he believed. As you have believed, let it be done unto you. Well, Father, I thank you for your word and the principles and the promises that are in this book. I thank you that they're so awesomely real, Lord. awesomely real. And Lord, you told us just to believe and we'll get healed. But we got to believe with no doubt in our heart. We got to speak to our problem and speak and command our problem to go away and to never come back. Just like Tony did, just like Mike did. All of them, all these men of God that have stood on the word and seen it work for them. Lord, it'll work for us just like it did for them if we'll only believe just like they did. Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for showing us how this works. Thank you for sending Jesus to bear our sickness and remove our disease. Lord, we praise you that Jesus bore our sickness and removed our disease. Because he did that, we don't have to have it. All we got to do is walk with a state of confession all the time, with love, walk in love, and then we have no problem with sickness and disease. It cannot attach itself to us. So, Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.